Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC's senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
Unseasonably warm, really. Normally around Halloween, you hope you get that first cold front, but not in the next 10 days or so. Highs going to be in the lower 80s, nary a chance for rain except for tomorrow. And Peyton Malone, WWL Louisiana forecaster, saying maybe check the radar on that. Not a washout, but you might have a shower or two around trick-or-treat time. Jerome Zizarang joins us, Louisiana State Representative, talk about the Mid-Barataria sediment diversion as we continue to talk about this because it continues to be stalled and the clock continues to tick, and there are other issues as well in addition to the coastal restoration issues. Hey, Z, how you?
Good morning, Tommy. I'm great. How are you?
I wish they'd get going on this thing. Let's talk about this letter that, as I understand it, the NOAA, National Oceanic Atmospheric Administration, the Department of the Interior, the Department of Agriculture, and the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency sent to the state of Louisiana about the Mid-Barataria sediment diversion.
That's right. Yeah, the TIG, which is the Louisiana Trustee Implementation Group, they're kind of responsible to ensure, as part of the NERDA process, that is responsible for mitigating the impacts for the oil spill, to ensure that good projects that mitigate for those impacts and the dollars being used are put to good use. So they sent a letter to Louisiana a couple weeks ago essentially saying fish are cut bait. Mm-hmm. And the challenge is they've committed to this project. And quite frankly, if I were a commercial recreational fisherman, not just living in Plaquemine Parish, but people who live in Louisiana, I want a copy of this letter, and I would be concerned because if you look at the letter, basically what they're saying is, listen, we're committed to the TIG and the NERDA group is committed to this project. Why is it Louisiana? And it's been one of the most researched projects. Even in the letter, they recognize that there is no single restoration project plan that has been studied more extensively over the past few decades, than Louisiana's proposed Mid-Barataria sediment diversion project. And more importantly, if you look at what the project, the benefits it's going to have, they keep talking about it's going to destroy the fisheries. It's completely untrue. And they have the science and the research to back it up. But it's also going to protect Louisiana communities and infrastructure, reduce impacts from storms, and support healthier Gulf fisheries. So if I'm interested in white shrimp, red drum, and blue crab, that's going to help those resources. What's happening right now is a select group of special interest are influencing the parish and encouraging them to stop or halt this project because of their own special selfish interests that are stopping this. And another important aspect of this, if I lived in Plaquemine Parish and if I lived in Grand Bayou, this project is going to reduce flooding in Grand Bayou. It also says that Myrtle Grove, Wood Park, Susie Bayou, Hermitage, Grand Bayou, and Happy Jack, if I lived in any of those communities, it says that they will experience
more flooding. You broke up, Z, but I'll pick it up. They'll experience more flooding without the Mid-Barataria sediment diversion and the associated community stewardship measures than with them. Are you still with us? Z, your phone broke up. I'm going to go ahead and read the last paragraph of this letter, which is really attention-getting, and it says, if Louisiana decides not to pursue the project as evaluated and designed, the federal trustees expect the state will cease spending allocated TIG funds immediately and return those funds for future restoration activities. Given the gravity of this situation, we cannot overstate the importance of continued transparent communication with Louisiana TIG trustees and with the affected public. We look forward to hearing CPRA's position regarding the MBSD Mid-Barataria Sediment Diversion Project. So they're saying Myrtle Grove, just to recap what this letter says, Wood Park, Susie Bayou, Hermitage, Grand Bayou, Happy Jack will all experience more flooding without the mid-Barataria sediment diversion and the associated community stewardship measures than with them. And, of course, I read the last paragraph of the letter. Z, I've seen things recently that, the fishermen are saying, well, maybe it is a good thing, but we need to be compensated more other than the measures, I think, $718 million, is that what it is, or $817 million? How much has been set aside for them?
Well, it's close to $300 million to $350 that are set aside to mitigate. They're going to acquire properties, acquire...
You're breaking up.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
See, we got to get this fixed up so I can hear what you have to say. But I thought there was money to offset, and I'll look this up, money to offset the fishermen or to help them out. And I guess what got my attention about that was it seemed as though, Z, you there?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Z, you got to pay the bill, buddy. If you look, you if you're on hard times and AT&T is threatening to cut you off, just reach out. I'll help you out. You know what I mean? No, but seriously, I see where I thought there was money that was like $700 million or something that was dedicated, or is that what they're looking for to help them offset their losses, the oyster fishermen, et cetera?
Yes, Tommy. There's $350 million that's set aside to mitigate for impacts, to acquire and buy out properties, but also to mitigate for commercial interests that will be impacted. But there's also going to be a significant improvement in some aspects of fisheries as well. So in addition, the irony about this is the fact that the parish is using certification of the flood insurance program to stop or halt this project when it's obvious that this project is going to prevent flooding in a lot of these communities. And if I were in those communities, I'd be asking the parish, why are they stopping or holding up this project?
Because what and we'll pick it up when we come back, is what it seems like is the tone has changed of the fishermen from, okay, it's a good thing scientifically, but we need more money to, because we got to go back to where we originally started going. And look, I got nothing against oyster fishermen. I told you this before, Z. I lived down the street from Mitch Jurisich's son with Louisiana Oyster Task Force. I know all of these people. I know Keith Hinkle, all of them. But I just want to do what's best for everybody and not just for a specific interest. And if you're saying that it was going to destroy the environment, but now you're saying it's not, and now you're holding the whole thing up for compensation, that doesn't seem like it's in the best interest of everybody. But we'll talk more when we come back. Z Zarang, our guest, Louisiana State Representative, talking about the Mid-Barataria Sediment Diversion. 721 Traffic Now, WWL. Man, just once I'd like to hear that guy say, you might be a redneck if. 726, we're talking to Jerome Zarang, Louisiana State Representative. I'm Tommy Tucker here on WWL about the Mid-Barataria Sediment Diversion. I don't know where I got $700 million from, but $305 million has been set aside. Maybe they're looking for more. Either way, talk about the delays with this thing. Where do we stand? I don't even know where it is now. It's so many suits have been filed and counteroffers and delays, and now this letter from the TIG people. Where do we stand, Jerome?
Well, unfortunately, we stand with the fact of the matter is they're asking for transparency within the process. But when you go to the CPRA, they're basically saying, well, it's in the courts. It's in the courts. We can't talk about it. Well, it's time to get past that. We're allowing the parish to hold up this project. And quite frankly, the state should respond to this letter. It's been 2 weeks.
Z, I don't know if you're moving around or not, but I sure wish you'd stop.
I'm sorry, Tommy.
Okay.
My phone's acting up.
Stay right where you are. Don't move, and maybe we can get through this.
Okay.
So,
okay, and the
reality is, go ahead.
So the reality is the parish is holding up this project. They stayed the stop work order so that they could move forward in certain aspects of the project. But the problem is they've done that, and now we need to move past this and begin the project one way or the other. If it's in the courts and we need to resolve this by litigation, then heck, the state needs to move forward and begin the process and litigate this. But we can't and shouldn't allow the parish and select special interests to stop this major project. In addition to all the benefits that it's going to have to the resource and the communities there, think of the economic boom that it's going to provide to the parish, a $3 billion project in the parish. I mean, if I lived in that parish, I'd be all excited about trying to get this done. Apart from the benefits it's going to have, the economic impact is going to be substantial.
It seems like everything changed when Governor Landry came in, put Gordon Dove as the head of the CPRA, and that it seems as though the interests of commercial fishermen are being put ahead of the greater good as far as this project goes, that compromise is not science, and as we've talked about before, science and politics never make good bedfellows. Building a smaller diversion is going to be the worst of both worlds for everybody. That's going to be a disaster. I presume that's also going to jeopardize the federal funding, is it not?
Well, yes. They basically said that in the letter, essentially that they've evaluated this project. They looked at six different alternatives. And this, after all the extensive research over a decade, this is the project we need to implement. Anything less than that is going to have to be started all over again. It's going to delay and jeopardize future funding for restoration projects. So this is the project that needs to happen, and we can work to minimize the impacts in operating the system. But because of the benefits it's going to have, it should move forward. And quite frankly, the parish, we have to look at this, but they can and should be held liable. Ultimately, if we have to give back the money, and that's what the letter is asking for, if you're not going to move forward, you need to stop spending money, and you're going to have to give back what you didn't spend. But the state's going to be on the hook for this, and I think that we should look at maybe the liability associated with this as who's responsible for paying that money back, and it shouldn't be the state.
So who can do what at this point to move this along or get it through the courts or get a decision? Or where the ball is in whose court, Z?
Well, two things. So right now the TIG is asking for a response to the letter, so the state needs to respond to this letter. And they need to advance this effort. The AG's office is representing the state. If they're saying it has to be litigated, then the AG's office needs to advance this and resolve this issue. And I think some people are saying that, you know, some are saying that the intent is to wait and see if President Trump will win. And then if he wins, then they will try to influence or affect this project. That may or may not be the case. I don't know. I can't speak to that. But the reality is we need to move past this. The federal government is asking for a response and a commitment from the state, and we need to move forward on this project.
Thank you, Z. Appreciate your time and your efforts as always. We'll talk to you again soon. I'm sure Z Zerang, Jerome Zerang, Louisiana State Representative, talking about the science behind the Mid-Barataria sediment diversion. I've listened to a lot of stuff about this throughout the years, and it sure seems like special interests are holding up a project for the greater good. 7:30, time for WWL First News. 7:45, quarter till 8, Tommy Tucker, WWL, joined by Dr. Kim Reed, Commissioner of Higher Education in Louisiana. Good morning, Dr. Reed. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. For people that don't know, because we've got a lot of people with a lot of different titles, as the Commissioner of Higher Education, what is it that you do?
Well, my best job, obviously, is advocating for the students of our state and trying to make sure that more of them, whether they're young or young at heart, have the opportunity to get a great credential, whether that's at a two-year institution or a four-year institution in our state. So the advocacy and policy work is the best work on behalf of our students.
Tell me what your concerns are. Well, first of all, let's talk about the importance of students who need skills, opportunities, credentials to enter the world of work. First of all, the importance of having them, and then we'll talk about the concern that maybe they won't be able to get them.
Sure. You know, when we think about this knowledge economy, we think about technology, AI, the skills and competencies that are required to navigate the world of work. the credential of some sort beyond high school, a credential of value beyond high school, is a prerequisite into employment today. And so we're trying to make sure that more students understand and start early on skill building and earning credentials. It's our responsibility, obviously, to make sure it's affordable and equitable for students. But we have case making to do to make sure that our citizens understand that there's a place for them at one of our institutions and how important it is, Tommy, to start and to finish that credential.
Where does funding for that stand now, and what are your concerns moving forward, Dr. Reed?
So we are in a situation where we've been asked to prepare for budget cuts in higher education, between $100 million and $250 million in budget cuts, a worst-case scenario that the administration and the legislature has asked us to do. We've had our September budget hearings with the system presidents. They've talked about the devastating impact of cuts of up to 23, 24%. But this is state general funds. These are the dollars that come from taxpayers' hard work that are allocated to higher education. We are unprotected in the Constitution along with health care. So anytime the budget of the state is waning or dollars are scarce, they look to higher education and health care as potentially on the chopping block. That is our concern. We need more education, not less, in our state. But with budget cuts, you will end up with less opportunity.
You know what this reminds me of, Dr. Reed, is the old business saying that you can't save your way into a profit. Is that kind
and
of
you can't cut your way to excellence?
That's
right?
That's what I'm saying. It seems like so we have a poverty level. Now we're talking about cutting higher ed, which is not going to do anything to increase that poverty level. You can talk about income tax reform all you want, but if you don't have an educated workforce, then I don't know how changing the tax code is going to make people want to come and move the business here. It's all interrelated, is it not?
It's absolutely interrelated. You absolutely are correct that we have to have skills and opportunities to move people out of poverty, but we also want the legislature to know and our citizens to advocate for this. When we do our job well, we create more taxpayers. We create more people who are contributing to the economy, and that will continue to improve our state and the prosperity of our state and our people. So we want people to understand that we're more than just an expenditure or a line on a budget. We are an investment in our people. We are an investment in Louisiana's future. So that's the case that we will be making to the legislature and the governor as we continue through this process.
What's going on with dual enrollment and who's paying for what?
Dual enrollment is an opportunity for high school students to start earning college credit while they're still in high school. We have about 41,000 students who are participating in our public colleges and universities, a fantastic number. We've been growing that program. But again, another program that could be in jeopardy if there are budget cuts. We have requested additional dollars, $20 million in funding, to ensure that every high school junior and senior could take a dual enrollment course at no cost to the family. That's our goal, to increase access. But if we have budget cuts, institutions may choose not to offer dual enrollment. And so, you know, it's a program that could be diminished instead of expanded when we need more expansion.
Let me take a break. We'll pick it up here. We come back. We're talking to Dr. Kim Reed, Commissioner of Higher Education in Louisiana. They've been told to prepare for, was that accurate, Dr. Reed, told to prepare or, yeah, that's the phrase, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Prepare told for to up to $150 million budget cut, correct.
Up to $150 to $200 million in budget cuts. We'll talk about what that could look like to specific schools or specific areas when we come back. 10 till 8, traffic now, WWL. 7:56, 4 till 8, talking to Dr. Kim Reed, Commissioner of Higher Education, Louisiana. She's been told to prepare for, in her department, $150 to $200 million in potential budget cuts. Dr. Reed, how do you even go about parsing that out or deciding, triaging what gets cut, what doesn't, what gets funded, what doesn't? How do you even begin to do that?
Well, it's a painful exercise, but if we don't make the case, Tommy, if we don't explain that a potential cut of that magnitude, 23-24%, what that looks like for students, for affordability, for completers, layoffs for faculty, staff, potential satellite campus closures, if we don't explain that, then people won't understand the urgency of addressing the issue. So what we do every year in September is we ask the system presidents of the four systems, LSU, Southern, the Community Technical College system, and the UL system, to come forward and explain both the impact of cuts and what they need to do their job even better. And so we have informed information because it's coming from the campus and system leaders who are in this work every single day.
So it's one thing on an Excel spreadsheet, right, or a budget that you prepare. But it's something else when you talk about everyday life and what it's like for potential students or the schools themselves. What would that look like, Dr. Reed?
Well, it certainly would look like less access. So I would imagine that you'll have some satellite campus closures, less faculty and staff because of layoffs. So that means less services to students, less courses available to students, harder to complete. Certainly, I would imagine it would mean that higher education would be less affordable at a time when we need it to be more affordable than ever before. But I appreciate your comment, Tommy, because it's not numbers. This is about people. And our people need more education and training than ever before. They need the opportunity to get these credentials to go to work. And budget cuts provide dramatic barriers to opportunity in a state that needs more opportunity for our people.
I get one gadfly, apparently, that's texting in about the money's being wasted, this, that, the other thing. How important is it to have, because nothing just happens, right? And I always go back, Dr. Reed, to if you're a volunteer parent, which I have been, chairs at a meeting just don't appear. They got to be set up by somebody. They got to be picked up by somebody, right? And that's the lowest bar example I can think of. So along those lines, things in a state, things in an economy just don't happen. You know, if you build it, they will come, but you got to have an educated workforce. How far down the line would budget cuts like this affect an educated workforce, the state's economy, and having an educated workforce available for the next several years?
It would certainly impact the work. There is a commitment and a consistent focus right now on increasing labor force participation. The estimate is that we have one of the lowest workforce participation rates in the nation. And so, again, you're working against your mission and you're working against your goal. The goal is to get more people credentialed, more people working, more people paying taxes. But budget cuts would mean that you would have less opportunity to do that. But I do want to specifically answer the question about wasted money and efficiency. Mm-hmm. Higher education in Louisiana has been one of the lowest funded in the nation. Today, our funding is at the 2012 level of funding in terms of state funds. In 2012, we had less employees, but today we have more graduates.
And a lot has changed since then. Dr. Reed, you got to come back.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC's senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.